With a new podcast every day of the Premier League season, this is Football Social Daily.
After just 112 days and 13 games in charge, Claudio Ranieri has been sacked by Watford. The Hornets are in the Premier League relegation zone and the Italian has been handed his marching orders. Now Watford prepare to appoint their 15th permanent manager since the Pozzo family took control at Vicarage Road not even 10 years ago. But despite those bonkers numbers, was it the right call for Claudio to go? Is he even the one to blame for the club's struggles? We'll try and find some answers on today's show, as well as the news that Roy Hodgson is being lined up to take the reins as Watford battle to beat the drop. We'll share our thoughts as well as hearing what Hornets fans think of the situation when Carl and Justin from the Watford podcast, Do Not Scratch Your Eyes, join us later on. Only a few days left of the January transfer window too, and Ranieri won't be the only Premier League departure this week. One possible outgoing is Manchester United's Anthony Martial, who's allegedly on his way to Spain, whilst Liverpool defender Joe Gomez is being linked with a switch to Steven Gerrard's Aston Villa. All of that to come on the only daily Premier League podcast out there. This is Football Social Daily. I'm Niall, welcome to the show, and joining me today we've got Marley Anderson and Joel Tudor. Morning, gents.
Morning, lads.
Good morning.
How do you feel knowing that you don't have to put all your belongings in a cardboard box and depart the Sports Social office this morning?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure he isn't feeling too bad with that payout, whereas we'll just be getting kicked.
I'm not sure he took any belongings out of a box yet.
He's not unpacked yet. He's still getting his feet under the table.
He ordered a table from Wayfair and it still hasn't arrived yet. Hasn't got there. It's due on. It's due next Tuesday.
He'll be coming in for the fourth manager just in time.
They must have a decent supply of brown cardboard boxes with no lid on at Watford's training ground, that's for sure, because they seem to use a fair amount of them. You know, all joking aside, Watford have sacked Claudio Ranieri. We can joke about it, but it's probably not a laughing matter from a Watford fan's point of view, and we will hear from two Watford fans from the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast a little bit later on in the show. But first, we're going to give our reaction to the fact that Claudio Ranieri has been sacked by Watford Football Club after just 112 days in the job. First question, Marley, are you, and is anyone from the outside looking in, surprised at this news?
No, not surprised. You can't have that type of record at Watford and not go. They are not shy of pulling the trigger, so to speak. So it's not a surprise. I think he had almost he had a similar record to Cisco Munoz before the start of the season. He got seven games, took 7 points from them, wasn't enough. That's quite a high bar to set, really, I think, when you're Watford, because even a very, very good manager at Watford is not gonna have them in the top half and cruising. It's always going to be some sort of battle against sort of around the bottom half of the bottom half, sort of thing, like the bottom six sort of thing. It's never going to be much above there, really, as a newly promoted team. That's a huge bar to set. 1 point per game, an average, is really high. So then to see Ranieri come in, yeah, he's experienced and what have you, and he's a lovely bloke, but he had a very, very similar record at Fulham. I think he took 3 points from 17 games at Fulham. 3 wins from 17 games. I think it was 9 points. So you're looking at that and saying, like, that is a similar record, and he's done the same again. So it's not really a surprise that he's not done much, and it's not really a surprise that that Watford have sacked him. And it's not a surprise that, once again, they're looking for another manager.
We got a bit of stick when Ranieri first came in for saying something similar, that since Leicester, he's not done a very good job on the whole, particularly when it comes to Premier League management. I mean, there was a few Watford fans that suggested that, you know, the Fulham statistics and the job he did there wasn't a fair analysis and synopsis of what he could do at Watford. But actually, Marley, with the summary you've made there, it's a perfect snapshot of the job he could do at Watford, because if anything, you're going to get more time at Fulham than you will at Watford, and that's proven to be the case.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things for me in football that kind of winds me up a little bit is past history in managers. Like, Ranieri has had a decent career, but he's not had in my opinion, are one that could suggest he could come in and save Fulham, for example. Fulham or Watford this year. So when he came into both jobs, I thought, like, I look at Ranieri and say he's got 1.5 feet in retirement. I don't think he's a manager who comes in and radicalises things and he's brave and he goes for things. I think
I said that at the time. I said, listen, he probably knows the score going into Watford. He's a man who's in his 70s. If he gets sacked, is he really going to care? Because he gets a little payoff. If he keeps them up, he's done really well. If he gets sacked, then everyone gets sacked at Watford, so it doesn't really matter. And I feel like it was kind of a bit of a win-win situation for Ranieri. If he gets sacked, he gets a nice little payoff. He's an old man now. He's never going to better his crowning glory, which is winning the title at Leicester. So, you know, in terms of what he's got to achieve, you know, keeping Watford up would have been an excellent achievement. But the fact he's been sacked, I don't think it's going to dent his legacy too much, do you?
No, not at all. I think that is Ranieri. I think, like, he's done decent jobs most places. He's not really failed massively, and like you say, everyone's only going to remember him for winning the title with Leicester. And you look at that and you think that was amazing. Like, it was obviously, you know, 5,000 to 1 shot, all the rest of it. Like, probably the greatest football story, arguably ever, that they won the title. But since then, I think he had them 10th when he got sacked, or 13th or something when he got sacked the next season. And then he sort of bounced around a few clubs, somehow got the Roma job when they were going through a turbulent time because they needed a steady manager, and he is a steady manager. I think he does what's expected of most clubs. So except with the obvious exception of Leicester, I think if you bring him in and you're an average side, he'll get you mid-table. If you bring him in and you're poor, he won't save you. I think if you bring him in and you're sort of top six, he'll get you top six. He'll do what's expected. I think at Roma, he got just outside the top Champions League places. That is where Roma finish pretty much every year. They're pretty much going to finish there under Jose Mourinho this year. They finished there under Fonseca a few years ago. And it's just like rinse and repeat. So if you give him a poor squad, which Watford pretty much have got because of the lack of investment and the players they've got at their disposal, he's not going to turn like average players into mid-table players. He's not going to turn Ismaila Sarr into a 30-goal season winger. He's going to do what's expected. And I think that is, as with Watford's squad, they're just not good enough. And you need someone to break that mould and to take them above the level that they've been playing at for the first 21, 22 games.
I think it's a great point. And actually, it feels like, Joel, at Watford, your task is to do a job with the players you've got rather than constructing a squad and picking up players that you want, because the turnover of managers is that extreme. You know, as we say, 15 managers in under 10 years. You know, it almost feels like the manager comes in, here are your players, and it's your job to coach them as best you can rather than you're the manager, you pick the players that you want to sign. It certainly doesn't feel like that. With that in mind, we say 112 days in the job, 13 games. Do you think that is enough time to show exactly what he was capable of? And in terms of keeping them up, do you think he did show that? The statistics would certainly say no.
Yeah, well, I mean, 14 games in the space of 3 months, it's not enough time to even get all of your pictures out in your office, let alone stamp your mark at a club. But, you know, when you look back at his managerial career, he's only ever averaged about 2 years maximum, and he's been to about 15, 16 clubs in his career. So this was never going to be a job that he sticks around at consistently. And it's like you say, any manager that goes into Watford now, it's not a case of building his team. It's a case of managing a set roster of players who he has at his disposal. And if he can't do much with it, then he'll get moved on. And I don't know how sustainable it is. But then obviously when you look at Watford's kind of period under the Pozzo family, I'm sure Watford fans will look back at this last 10 years with a smile, because, you know, they've had 6 years in the Premier League, they've had an FA Cup final, an FA Cup semi-final, and I'm sure they had an amazing day out on those 2 days. So it's not been all bad about them. I think it's just the way in which the Pozzo family constantly breed instability across the whole club, and it's not, I don't understand how fans can relate to a manager and start to like warm to them and get a feel for how he wants the team to move forward when it all feels very, very temporary as soon as they get signed. And I think Ranieri coming in, and I think any manager coming into Watford is well aware of that. They'll absolutely know that the fact that if they go on a run of, you know, 10 games and they're starting to slump down, the owners are pretty trigger happy in terms of making sure that no matter who comes in, all their plan for the club is literally just making sure they stay in the Premier League. And although it has worked, like, let's not get it twisted, it has worked for them. 6 years out of 10 seasons is a good return for Watford alongside the FA Cup final. So it's not as if to say, you know, because we can look at Mike Ashley, for example, it's not always greener on the other side. And I know they're probably not looking for the family to sell up and go, because there could be another manager that comes in and the whole club gets ripped in inside out. This is just their model. And the way I look at it now, obviously Roy Hodgson's looking to be the next candidate. I'd see that as a bit of optimism, to be honest, just because obviously he was at Udinese in the early 2000s with the Pozzo family, so they know him well. And they're obviously choosing someone who they can trust in these next 4 months. I don't know if that's going to change anything going forward in terms of picking a manager who can be there long term, but I think it's a tiring process. And I'm sure it's costing them a hell of a lot of money to be paying out compensation after compensation. And the managers who come in cannot make transfers that are their transfers. They have to just work with players. It's impossible to build a team. You're just building a season after season basis.
It feels like they're spending all of their money on paying off managers. They're non-players.
Yeah, literally.
And they need better players to stay in the Premier League. And, you know, Ismaïla Sarr and Emmanuel Dennis are two very decent players, but have they got enough through the team to stay in the Premier League? It's going to be a tough job for them. They're 19th at the moment. Ranieri did have some good results, I think that's worth saying. Beat Manchester United, beat Everton, scored 5 goals and 4 goals respectively against those two teams, but also some terrible ones.
Including two wins.
Including Friday night. That was a really poor result against Norwich, and that was eventually why the trigger has been pulled. Joel mentions Roy Hodgson, Marley. He's been lined up to replace Ranieri. Could even be announced by the time people were listening to this episode of Football Social Daily. Is he a good fit for the job for you? I mean, particularly when it comes to his age, he's also in his mid-70s, not too dissimilar to Ranieri, who's slightly younger. He worked under the Pozzo family in 2001 when he managed Udinese, who are almost like a sister club of Watford. So he'll know their MO, won't he? He'll understand that the likelihood is he could well be sacked even before the end of the season if things don't go to plan.
Yeah, I think, I don't think Roy Hodgson is a particularly fantastic manager these days. I think his kind of career has been done for a little while now. In terms of, I think he's just gone, like, he's ran his race, basically. But at this stage of his career, which we all thought had ended, I think it makes sense. I think this sort of short-term, like, see what you can do deal, it's, you know, it's not going to be what Roy Hodgson is remembered for. It's not going to be, you know, he's the guy who came in and saved Watford. Roy Hodgson's going to be the guy who went all over the world managed England, managed Inter Milan, managed Switzerland, Malmo, all like Sweden and Finland and all these teams, and reached the UEFA Cup final with Fulham. So that is Roy Hodgson. It's not going to be this 6 month spell at Watford, but I do sort of think that his experience of being down there and sorting teams out a little bit and sort of stabilizing them and then giving them a platform on which to build is probably what Watford need. It's just a case of whether the Pozzo family give him enough time to stabilize things, because there is enough time left this season. I think what we've got 16 games left to the end of the season. I think they can get results in that time, but we'll see how talented that squad is. Because I look at that squad and think, I don't think that squad's good enough to stay in the Premier League. So, as Joel said, it's about coaching what you've got. It's not really about getting in and saying, I want this player, that player, and that player in the 7 days of the transfer window that we've got left, or the 6 days we've got left. It's about going in and working with William Troosty Kong and Craig Cathcart and making them a solid defensive partnership and saying, right, who's our best right back that's not going to concede us goals? Is it Kiko Femenya or is it someone else? And then go from there, build from there. Who can score us goals? Can Dennis rediscover his form that he's been in once he comes back from suspension and ruining everyone's fantasy football teams? So it's one of them where, you know, you've got to give him the chance now. You know, he knows the Poto family. We've said that. It's about just seeing what you can do, because it is a bit of a free shot. I know there's relegation on the line, but no one else is going to take that. No more experienced manager is going to take that job. You know, I think Rafa Benitez has just been sacked, but there's no way Rafa's going to go and work for a family like that who sack everyone every you know, twice a season or whatever it is. So you are going to look at someone who is happy with the short-term basis, and I think Roy Hodgson wants that before he gets his pipe and slippers and goes back to South London and puts his feet up for the rest of his life.
Well, Roy Hodgson is the emerging favourite to take over from Claudio Ranieri at Vicarage Road after Watford sacked the Italian. 8 defeats and a draw from the last 9 games in all competitions. The statistics were damning. Watford are in the relegation zone. That's our thoughts from the outside looking in. But what about those of Watford supporters, Justin and Carl, from the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast, the Watford show, part of the Sports Social Podcast Network, will be joining us next to share their views on Football Social Daily.
Football Social Daily. Subscribe to the podcast now so you never miss an episode.
For nearly 4 decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Football Social Daily. Find more great sport at sport-social.co.uk.
Welcome back to Football Social Daily, where the big news in the Premier League today is that Claudio Ranieri has been sacked as Watford manager, with the club 19th in the table and thoroughly embroiled in a relegation battle. Ranieri picked up 7 points from his 13 games in charge, and Friday night's loss to Norwich City proved to be the final straw for the owners at Vicarage Road. The Italian has been dismissed, and Roy Hodgson, the former Crystal Palace boss, looks set to take up the post. We've already shared our thoughts on today's podcast as outsiders looking in, but now let's hear what Hornets fans make of it all. And joining us now, we have Carl and Justin from the Watford podcast, Do Not Scratch Your Eyes, which of course is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Morning, gents. How are you feeling this morning after last night's news?
Deflated.
I can't tell if one's a cheer of despair and one's a cheer of celebration, but maybe it's a combination of the two. Carl, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Inevitability that he was going to go for me. You know, great in the sense that we've made that decision. But bringing in, potentially, at this stage, Roy Hodgson, I don't know if I'm necessarily, you know, jumping over the table in my house currently and celebrating. But we'll see. We'll see what he brings.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for you, Justin, was it the right call to get rid of Ranieri? I mean, he's a nice guy, and I think everyone in the Premier League would have wanted him to do well at Watford, but it just hasn't worked out so far.
Well, if you look at the statistics, yes, it was the right decision. You know, you can't only win 2 games out of 13 or whatever it is. That's just ridiculous. And I think probably bringing in Roy is the right decision, because Roy's got absolutely nothing to prove at this stage of his career. If he gets relegated with us, it's not really much, is it? It's just a small footnote in a, you know, fairly successful managerial career. So, you know, swapping out Ranieri for Hodgson does seem, in the cold light of day, like a proper thing to do, actually.
Is he the best available candidate, Justin, do you think, of those that are out there at the moment?
Well, I think he's probably the best one that would take it. I don't think anybody else would want it, to be honest. You're going to end up with a CV on your relegation, so any up-and-coming manager looking at that would go, do I want that? Probably not. Call me in May. Maybe I'll try and get you out of the Championship into the Premier League and have a promotion on my CV. So I can't really think of, you know, what the pool was in terms of managers that would want the job. But yeah, for me, I think Hodgson is probably the best of a bad bunch, if that makes sense.
We talk about Ranieri being sacked, Carl. Where did it go wrong for him? Because I've seen a bit of narrative and discourse from Watford fans on social media. Some are blaming the Pozzo family for poor investment in terms of players and recruitment and not having a strategy. Others are blaming the players themselves for not being good enough. Is it really Ranieri's fault? I know the statistics are terrible, as Justin says, but I mean, where's it all gone wrong for Ranieri and his spell at Watford?
Yeah, I mean, you just summed it up brilliantly there. I think Ranieri is a victim of stuff out of his control. I think, you know, looking at the club and the ownership, you know, I've made a big song and dance recently about recruitment at the club, both managers and players over probably 5 years now. We obviously have this link with Udinese, which the Pozzos own, and we have these little. I call them internal transfers. It's a bit, you know, it's just swapping out players as and when. But, you know, if you look at our spend, we don't go and spend big. The biggest signing that we've made in recent times is obviously Sarr. You know, when you're trying to compete in the Premier League, it's a difficult balance. You know, on the one hand, you don't want to go and spend money that you haven't got, but on the other hand, you also want to bring in quality and not just numbers. And it just seems that this scouting network that they're renowned for hasn't dried up, but it is bringing in lesser quality players that we need. And just to add to that, there was a huge outcry from the fan base of, we need defenders. Can we get some defenders, please? Because we're shipping goals. Nothing in the summer. You know, and it's taken us up to January now to bring in, again, one internal transfer from Udinese, and Camara, who we've brought in as a left-back as cover because of the Danny Rose situation. Again, whatever's gone on there. And, you know, the list goes on of failures where transfers are concerned.
Yeah, I think that's a great point you make. And we should suggest that there are some players away at the Africa Cup of Nations, but that almost feels a little bit like an excuse, really, rather than a true reason as to why Watford aren't doing as well as they should be doing. So there's definitely a case for that, I think.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the African Cup of Nations is maybe for the Liverpools of the world and so forth an issue. But for us, we've got one player out there that was a regular starter who was not performing, Troost Ekong. I know he's had a great competition out there. That's been, you know, well publicised, but in a Watford shirt, quite honestly, he's been very, very poor, below par.
I've got a question for either of you, just about like the strategy about it, because obviously in the time that the Pozzo family have been in charge, you've been in the Premier League for a good 6 years during that time. So regardless of if they're chopping and changing during the season, are you okay with them doing that if it means you still stay up? Or is it a case of you kind of just have to accept the kind of regime that they've got going on?
Well, I think if we stay up, then it is a good thing. But, you know, three managers this season now and it looks like we're getting relegated. So that model has worked previously. It remains to be seen if it's going to continue to work. I really don't know. It's just, you know, when you're a Watford fan and these sort of things happen, it's really hard to describe how it feels, because you know I don't even think we had a chant for Ranieri. He was there so short a time. I don't really remember him. Well, he hasn't left his mark, has he? He definitely hasn't left his mark at all. So it feels weird, and it's horrible reading mainstream media when things like this happen, because your club's getting called out for this, that and the other, and you're being told that your club's worthless and that it's, you know, badly run and all the rest of it. Like you say, 6 years in the Premier League isn't to be sniffed at, but got a feeling that's coming to an end at the end of this season.
You sound fed up, Justin, and I don't know whether that's because it's 10 o'clock on a Tuesday morning or whether you're just fed up of constantly changing
like
manager. Is he always like that? All right, cheers, Carl. Thanks, yeah. Thanks for the information and insight there.
It's my demeanor, you know. It's how I am.
it's the flavour he adds to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Are you fed up of constantly changing manager, Justin? I could just tell by your face and the tone of your voice that you just... you get into the end of your tether a little bit with the fact that, like you say, he didn't even have a chant for Claudio Ranieri. So, you know, he was only there for 13 games.
Yeah. Am I getting fed up with it? Well, you get used to it, really. It's just a really strange thing to say, but you do get used to it. And normally, when they're talking about changing a manager, there is a little bit of resistance on the socials with, you know, oh, no, it's too soon, or don't do it. But this time round, it seemed to be he's got to go. And that was fairly unanimous amongst most of the social media. There was probably, you know, 3 or 4% of people saying Ranieri should stay. So this time, I think it has chimed in with the fans' feelings. It doesn't always, though. You know, sometimes you think, what are you doing? Why has he been sacked? So, yeah, I do get fed up with it. Because not really because of what happens, more from the fallout from it all, from you know, people that really don't know what they're talking about having a go at you about it, and you have to sort of explain every time, but it works for us. We're still in the Premier League, you know. It seems to be a model that works, but you know, there will be pundits. You know, I don't want to really name names, but you know, Jamie O'Hara hasn't said anything yet. He certainly had something to say last time.
Yeah, we're waiting for that to come out today.
Yeah, exactly. I did actually listen to a thing on TalkSport where Simon Jordan was sort of saying, you know, you can't blame the owners, etc. So it kind of, there's a mixed bag of opinions that, you know, you always have to sort of absorb because you are exposed to it, but. Yeah, it does get frustrating. It does get frustrating. I remember my first manager was Graham Taylor. He was there for 10 years before he went, and then he was there for whatever it is, 4 or 5 years the second time round. Stability, you know, that would always seem to work as well. So, you know, you have to ask yourself, you know, is it the chopping and changing of the managers? Is that putting a shock into the players? I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. It's horrible. It's horrible to be part of, really.
Guys, if you're waiting for Jamie O'Hara to say something anywhere near logical, I think you'll be waiting until you've gone through about 5 more managers.
Great point.
Well, that's true. That's a great point. That's very true. And I didn't want to really call him out, but he was absolutely scathing of us last time, and he did actually get some banter, shall we say, back at him. Yeah, it's not just him. There's loads of them, isn't there? You know, Gary Lineker always seems to have something to say, and you know, everybody has got an opinion on it, but it's always from the outside looking in, and it isn't always well informed.
Well, I suppose kind of building on that, and you say that, you know, some opinions are you can't blame the owners. Can you blame the owners, Carl? Is there a section of the support that are now going to turn on the owners, the Pozzo family, because of the way that the club is run? Because, you know, Justin's right, isn't he? 6 years in the Premier League for a club like Watford is a very decent effort. And when they took over not even 10 years ago, you know, the club then saw promotion to the Premier League and they went on a great little run. And it was good times, I think, for all involved with Watford. But now, do you think that there'll be some question marks over Duxbury, the chief executive, and the owners? I think there was a good point that was raised in a conversation you had on national radio yesterday, which is, I think it's okay to be critical of the ownership, but it's not to a point in which you're trying to oust them, if that makes sense.
Mm. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, exactly. And that's the point. You know, it's looking at the ownership and what they've actually achieved with the infrastructure at the club and everything. And I think that to go out now and to say, oh, we want the owners out of the club and, you know, they've done this and they've done that is the wrong way to do it. But what we should be doing is asking questions. What's plan B? What's the transfer policy? What, you know, what happens if this, and just transparency. There's none of that at the club. There's no open and honest conversations about, listen, we've cocked this up. You know, we've really made a mistake here, but we're going to do X, Y, and Z to rectify it. It's very much a closed book. And Watford is always been presented as the original family club, you know, very much integrated into the community. The Pozzo's model goes against the grain of that. And I think for anybody that's been a supporter for a period of time, it doesn't sit well with. And there is unrest and there is, you know, a small section at the moment that are asking questions. And rightly so. You know, we're supporters, we're not customers. We want to be treated as supporters and we want to know what's happening with our football club. And when you're not getting the right answers from the, you know, from Scott Duxbury and the owners and the football's rubbish and we're at the bottom of the league and we're changing managers left, right and centre, you know, it's a worry. You know, it's a worry for supporters because honestly and truthfully, as Justin said, you know, if we go, it's looking like we're going to go down this season, whoever comes in. And if we do go down, what's the plan to get back up? Because there's a lot of, it's a completely different animal, that championship, to when we went down last time. You know, use Newcastle as a factor. If Newcastle were to come down, I guarantee you, and I'd put my mortgage on it, they'll come straight back up because they've got the buying power and the spend to do that. Watford haven't. And it, you know, you then look at teams that have been down there for so, you know, Stoke and teams like that. It's littered with ex-Premier League teams, and there's that big concern.
Carl, Justin, thanks for your time, gents. Really great to have you on. The guys are from the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast, part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. You can also find the show on all of your usual podcast platforms. You can also hear Carl's chat on national radio yesterday on the podcast feed. And I'm sure, guys, you'll be talking about Roy Hodgson's appointment in future episodes.
We shall.
Yeah, without
doubt. We shall. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, best of luck for the rest of the season. Go and check out the podcast. Do Not Scratch Your Eyes at DNSYE_podcast on social media as well. We'll all wish you good luck, apart from Marley, who's a Newcastle fan, who'll wish you the worst of luck, I'm sure.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Hey, I'm just hoping we both stay up and Burnley go. So
that'd be great. Yeah, after the way I got treated on radio, Marley, I agree.
Great to have you on, gents. Don't forget to hit subscribe on the show and on this show as well, because you won't miss an episode then. And next up on Football Social Daily, we'll be talking about the latest Premier League transfer gossip. Not only is Ranieri out of the door in the Premier League, but Anthony Martial could be on his way as well. We'll talk about that next on Football Social Daily.
Football Social Daily. Subscribe to the podcast now so you never miss an episode.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Football Social Daily. Find more great sport at sport-social.co.uk.
Welcome back to Football Social Daily, your daily Premier League show from Sports Social. We are the only podcast that produces a brand new episode on Premier League football every single day of the season. It includes weekends, of course. And if you hit subscribe, that way you won't miss a single episode again. Great to hear from the guys from the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast just there. But now we're going to focus on transfers, because Anthony Martial is allegedly on his way out of Manchester United. He's set to join Sevilla on loan for the rest of the season. That's according to renowned social media transfer expert Fabrizio Romano. There's said to be a loan fee involved, with the wages supposedly covered by the Spanish club. Is this a good move for both parties, Joel? You're a Manchester United fan. There were a couple of disputes, a little kind of tete-a-tete last week between Anthony Martial and Ralf Rangnick, albeit indirectly, after there was suggestions that Martial refused to travel to the game against Aston Villa, but he did play against West Ham at the weekend, and he showed some good signs playing his part in the goal that Rashford scored late on. So do you think this is a good move for both parties? Anthony Martial, if this is to be the case, as Fabrizio Romano reports, could be on his way to Sevilla for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think this is a transfer that was coming for a good amount of time now. I think he's been obviously at United for a good 7 years, which, you know, for a foreign player as well, a young foreign player who come to United, this is quite a rare thing to happen usually. And obviously we know that in the first two seasons, it was a huge breakout season. He had tons of potential, but for me, I don't think he's truly progressed on from those first 2 years in terms of just his overall play. And I think a lot of United fans would agree with me in saying that we expected way more in terms of the potential that he first came to the club with. That's not to say he's done or there's not a player in him, because I do feel like after all this time, he's gone through, you know, a few managers who've at times not really favoured him. And I think it's the perfect time for him to get a new environment, potentially, I think, in La Liga, I think it's the perfect pace and the perfect league just for him to, in terms of his play style, where it's not also so, no, it's not so intensive as it is in the Premier League, and I think it would suit him really well. Obviously, he's still only 26, and I think he's got, I think he's got bags of potential still available, but just not at United. I think that ship's passed, and now that we've got, you know, the likes of Anthony Elanga coming through, and then you've got Jadon Sancho, and you've got Greenwood and Rashford, the places are looking slim. And to be honest, he's going further and further down in the pecking order. And that's not to say he's a bad player, but there are just players who are way more deserving and also fit Rangnick's philosophy way more than Martial does.
It's a great point, actually, when you come to mention the forwards that United have got, particularly in that number nine position, that kind of central striker. And we know Rangnick's been playing a 4-3-3, so it's kind of one of those fluid systems where people move around and, you know, there's not always that solid focal point in the middle of those three forward players. But at the moment, United's recognised number nines, to take that as a point to make, are Ronaldo, who will be 37 next month, Edinson Cavani, who I think will be 35 next month, and then maybe one of Greenwood, Rashford or Elanga, but there are question marks over whether any of those three aforementioned players are bona fide number nines and whether they're better deployed out on the wings cutting in. So do you think that with Martial's imminent departure, whether that be on loan, which transitions into a permanent deal, which certainly feels like is what this will be, do you think there is another striker needed to be signed by Manchester United in the coming transfer windows?
I think it's obvious, isn't it? Like you say, well, Cavani's 100% leaving in the summer. Obviously, Ronaldo's not getting any younger. And I don't think with Martial, regardless of them two kind of becoming, you know, past their peak and potentially leaving in the next couple of years, Martial, I don't think, is a player who can be relied upon to be that out-and-out striker every week. As in, I wouldn't trust him to lead us to a league title if he was our main number nine. I do feel like, you know, when the time comes when Ronaldo ends up becoming that player who can't be relied upon anymore, we're going to need to go into the market for one of the superstar types, or potentially have Mason Greenwood slowly convert into a centre forward. But I would be more favourable to Greenwood doing that role than I would be to Martial. And that's just because I'm not seeing enough from him in that position to warrant having a starting position every game. I think the striker position at United, and I think majority of top clubs, is probably the most pressured position. Because the moment you start going off the ball of not scoring in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games, suddenly the pressure starts to build because you're the focal point. And when we think of all the great strikers who've been at United, in terms of, you know, Van Persie, Van Nistelrooy, Solskjaer, they're all players who consistently produced. And with Martial, he's not a player who consistently produces. He's a very flash-in-the-pan player. And okay, it's good at a club like Sevilla, maybe, because they're going for the La Liga at the moment, and I think he would be a massive boost to their challenge to Real Madrid this year. I think they're only 4 points off them, so I think it's a massive coup for them. But for us, I don't think it's a major loss, and that's the perspective that I think a lot of us have. And I wouldn't be surprised if now, I would love, in my opinion, for this to go in the way that he does amazingly at Sevilla. He gets back to the form that we kind of know in his first two seasons, which I think is very unlikely. But maybe a new environment will set the tone for him, I don't know. But I would love for him to be able to come back as like a fresh player under, obviously, a new manager. Could be Pochettino, could be Ten Hag, who favour him potentially. So I think that's probably why there's been no option to buy after this loan, which I think is smart, because I think, especially the Glazers, I know they favour him massively. And I know everyone thinks that there's still a player in there, but I just don't know if it's past that stage now where potential is, this is his ceiling. Whereas, you know, when he first came, everyone thought he was going to be, you know, on the ilk of Thierry Henry, and he was looking incredible in that first 2 years. So potentially it will be the making of him, but I really don't see a comeback from this, to be honest. And with a new manager coming in, I'm sure he'll be looking to sign even younger players and building that forward line again, because we already have an amazing roster of young forwards at the moment, and I think one or two of them will start to mould into a striker.
I seem to remember quite clearly, for some reason, Martial playing for Monaco. I think it was him and Yannick Ferreira Carrasco in the same team in a Champions League game, and they looked absolutely brilliant. I think both of them were teenagers or at least in their early 20s at the time. And it's mad to think that Martial's only 25, 26, and he's been at Manchester United 7 years. But as we record the podcast, at the time of recording, he hasn't yet departed Old Trafford, but he is set to leave Manchester United for Sevilla on loan for the rest of the season, according to Fabrizio Romano. Let's move on now and talk about Aston Villa, who are supposedly keen on Liverpool centre-back Joe Gomez. That's according to Football Insider. Where do you think Joe Gomez ranks in the pecking order of Liverpool centre-backs, Marley? Because, of course, we know how good Van Dijk is. Matip, Kunate and Phillips are the other three. Is this just Gerrard being linked with Gomez because of that Liverpool connection? Or do you think Villa genuinely do need another centre-back and Joe Gomez could leave Anfield?
All of the above, if I'm honest. I think I'm annoyed that this link is being made because I think Joe Gomez would be perfect at Newcastle. I think, you know, when people are saying, oh, do you want to sign Diego Carlos or Sven Botman? I'd rather have Joe Gomez over the pair of them because he's got Premier League experience, he's young, and he's got massive sell-on value and instant quality to add to the first team. Villa have seen this and, you know, they're being linked with the move. He's barely played this season. He's only played a handful of games and I rate him higher than Matip easily. It would be him or Konate alongside Van Dijk, but Klopp seems to favour Matip for one reason or another. I'm not sure whether it's just a form thing and a case of him, you know, Matip hasn't put a foot wrong, but I think when everyone's fit, it's Matip and Van Dijk most of the time. So it's a strange one, especially when he spent 50 million on Konate. So I don't really know with Joe Gomez, but I see him as an England regular. I could even see him as an England starter. You go back a couple of years and it was Gomez and Maguire when Stones was in the wilderness at Man City a little bit and possibly like looking to leave and what have you. So it's not too far ago that he's a regular in the England team and the England squad. So I think there's a great player there. I think he's, you know, he's still a very good age. I think he's 23, 24. He's had injury issues, yeah, but that happens in football. So there's no guarantee that he's spent or he's done because he's had a knee injury in his early 20s or anything like that. So I think this is very, very smart business for Liverpool, for Aston Villa, if they can pull it off, thanks to Gerrard's Liverpool connections. And
Is that the attraction? That's what I was going to say. What's the incentive for Gomez leaving Liverpool?
Well, first team football, and he knows, you know, I know he's not a Scouser, so it's not like he's grown up idolising Steven Gerrard, but there's not one English kid under, you know, between the age of 18 and 35, 40, who didn't know what an insane player Steven Gerrard was, and aware of what he's doing in his managerial career so far, because he's done well at Rangers. He started off doing well at Aston Villa, and this is why Villa were probably attracted to Steven Gerrard, because when you bring in players, ex-players of certain clubs, they do get little handouts. You look at Lampard at Derby getting Mason Mount and Fikayo Tomori, and it's like that's the link you can bring, and the fact that they know players from their ex-clubs and they're such a legend there that they want to play for them again, and it's a massive pull for players. So Joe Gomez can probably see Aston Villa and say, they've got Gerrard, they've just signed Coutinho, it's first team football, and Aston Villa, if they get everything right, could easily be, you know, comfortably in the top half of the Premier League if they get things right and everything sort of materializes into results. So that is, you know, two or three things there that can really attract you to Aston Villa, and I think it's a good move for everyone, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I definitely think that this whole Liverpool connection with Steven Gerrard and his ability to be able to attract players, A, that he used to play with, and B, of a certain quality because of how good he was as a player, I don't think that can be underestimated. I think that's a really important piece of information and piece of the puzzle when it comes to Villa making transfers. If they get Joe Gomez this window, Joel, which would be, as Marley says, a great signing for them, they would have brought in Luca Dean, who, apart from Trent Alexander-Arnold, has been one of the best fullbacks statistically in the Premier League since the start of the 2018-19 season. They would have brought in Felipe Coutinho, who has clubs like Barcelona and Bayern Munich on his CV, and we know exactly what he's capable of in the Premier League. And Joe Gomez, someone who's won a Champions League and a Premier League with Liverpool in the last 3 or 4 years. Dean, Coutinho, Gomez. Three signings in a January transfer window for Aston Villa. That, for me, would outline some serious ambition, and that would be a huge window for them, wouldn't it, if that was to be the case?
Yeah, and they've also been heavily linked with Rodrigo Benacer from Juventus, who's a great centre-mid. So, I mean, if they were able to get him and Joe Gomez, I really don't think that Joe Gomez will be able to be got, just because, like Marley was saying, I feel like he has the potential to be, you know, an England starter. And obviously during his last 3 years at Liverpool, when he was partnering Van Dijk, I mean, them two looked unbeatable. And obviously he's had quite a lot of injury issues, which has probably allowed these links to happen. Because I think obviously if he was in the starting lineup consistently, I don't think this would even be a report to even make a comment on. But if they were to able to get him, and I think obviously Gerrard, like you say, has a massive influence in this, just because he knows the players very well, so he's obviously going for players who he trusts. And if, like we say, before Gerrard actually got hired, the main issue was defensively. They were leaking goals massively defensively, and obviously they've addressed that at left back with Lucas Digne, which is one of the biggest coups. I think that's a bigger coup than Coutinho, to be honest, just because he's been one of the better left backs in the league for a couple of years now. If they were to able to get a centre-back of the quality of Joe Gomez, then I think that just shows ridiculous ambition. Obviously, it's a different question whether he can actually gel them all together, because let's not forget, last summer, Dean Smith bought a good number of players after Grealish left. So you have to combine a hell of a lot of players together and make sure that they all fit and that they're playing the right playing style, and that's never easy. We've seen it with many clubs who've gone out and bought a hell of a ton of players and it's not worked, namely Tottenham after that Gareth Bale money came in. But I think this is a different scenario where he's picking characteristic of players which suit that Aston Villa side well, and I think if they were to get Joe Gomez, I think that's probably the biggest coup he would have made as a signing, because we know his quality. It's just a matter of injuries, which is the case with so many great players who are always on the fringes. But yeah, they showed serious intent and they're looking way, way better under Gerrard. So I think the sky's the limit for them, but he just needs to make sure that they can all adapt together, which is the biggest challenge.
Yeah, it certainly is. And we'll see what happens with Aston Villa. They're allegedly keen on Liverpool's Joe Gomez, according to Football Insider. All of the latest transfer gossip will round up every day between now and the end of the window on Monday, especially during the midweek podcast. That's where we get the bulk of our transfer information to you. And to keep up to date with the podcast every single day of the season, because of course we are the only show that will do that for you, then make sure you hit subscribe, and that way you won't miss a show. But for today, that's it. Thank you very much, Marley. Thank you very much, Joel. I'm certain that you're not going to end up waking up tomorrow morning without a job, but you never know.
Hopefully the Pozzo family don't take over Sport Social anytime soon, otherwise we're all knackered.
We're all right for now, I'm pretty sure. That's it for today's episode of Football Social Daily. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you again tomorrow.
Football Social Daily. Find more great sport at sport-social.co.uk.